Hello, everybody, and welcome to Return to Shambhala. This is Vicki Goodwin, and today is April the 9th, 2012. Tonight, I have a special guest, someone who has inspired me over the years. Her name is Joanna Cherry, and Joanna is an author, a teacher, just a wonderful person. She's She promotes the WESOC Festival in Mount Shasta, California. Welcome, Joanna.
Well, thank you, Vicki. It's a joy to be here with you.
Well, great. I've said a few things about you. Is there anything else that you would like to say to have the listeners know you the way you'd like to have them know you?
Oh, well, I guess you could say that the most important thing to me in my spiritual growth and in my teaching is to recognize that each one of us is truly a divine being, that we are the I Am Presence, which is the great divine self in form on earth, and we are greatly, greatly loved and valued and honored throughout the universe. We are just so amazingly wonderful that it's very hard to grasp and think of it in our usual ways of life. It's just it's, you know, the Course in Miracles says you are the light of the world, and that's actually the truth about each one of us. So uh-huh. It's a pretty amazing thing to tune in so much more deeply and deeply and deeply with ourselves that we actually start to feel this truth and to be able to live it and express it. And that's the path, really, that all of us are on. Even if we don't know it yet, or even if we don't experience it yet, eventually this will be the experience of each and every one that we are this great divinity, and it's such a wonderful thing. You know, we don't think of life oftentimes as being so very wonderful and blessed and blessing, but that is actually the natural way that life is. And it's a wondrous thing to begin to realize and feel this.
It is. I remember the first time I saw a picture of an I Am Presence. I think it was with Patricia Diane Cota Robles.
Oh, right.
I went, wow. And I remember having it on a screensaver at school where I taught.
Uh-huh.
And I think it was a second grader looked at that and he said, I want to be that.
Whoa!
I know.
Good for him.
he tuned right into it. Because we look at our body and we think, oh, this is it. You know, it is wonderful, but it's still connected right to the God presence, the divinity. There's more layers to this body.
Yeah, and the body itself, you know, I'm a firm believer that humanity made up aging and death, that this is not the natural way for our bodies, that the body is actually meant to be immortal and youthfully beautiful forever, as long as we want to be on this plane, and then when we're done with one plane, we can lift up the body into the next plane without having it die. I think this is the natural way of things, and something that used to be so, but which we have forgotten for a very long time, so long that now we think that's just an impossible idea. But as we really tune in and become the I Am Presence more and more deeply, then the possibility of this experience of rejuvenation and immortality actually becomes to life.
We just had the celebration of the resurrection of the Master Jesus yesterday.
Yes, yes.
And you would think that the whole world would think, wow, I can do that too.
Mm-hmm.
I can take this body and it's not going to die. Jesus resurrected a dead body. His own
that's
dead
right.
body.
And that's and what he said, didn't he? He said, these things and greater than these things shall ye do.
Mm-hmm.
And that even made it into the Bible, amazingly enough.
Yeah.
We did. And
so they slipped up
those,
and let
those
some
are
truth
his
in.
Words, but they seem to be forgotten almost all the time by people.
That's true. And the way he did it was so it was so sad, the way he had to go through a public execution. And I'm hoping that through his ascension, his consciousness, he was able to subdue some of the pain and the agony that one would endure to be crucified. But I think it had to be that way, because otherwise, if he would have had a heart attack and died in silence, no one would really pay attention. So he had to kind of make a public display. Yes, Jesus is really dead. He was placed in Joseph of Arimathea's tomb. And a few days later, he's resurrected. And and he had already resurrected Lazarus. And I think he had, I know that one is in the Bible, and others he was able to resurrect.
Yeah,
other people who had passed on. So.
And some of his disciples were also able to raise people from the dead.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. I forget all which ones, but I know that some of them did do that.
Well, that's really my mission here, too, is this little 1 hour, a couple times a month. That's my mission, is to find speakers and people who... That's their main mission, to let people know that they do have a divinity within them. Mm-hmm. And they, like you said before, like you introduced your main purpose, to find that divinity within and be who we really are.
Yeah, find it and express it.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty amazing stuff.
Yes. Well, if the listeners have just tuned in, Joanna Cherry is here on the show with me, Return to Shambhala. And Joanna, I read your Living Mastery book, but I didn't read the sequel because I got so much into my own practice of ascension that this book, Living Mastery, was so clear I could run with it. But I would like to get that book. I would like to read it.
Oh, to get the second one?
What's it called, the sequel to
second
Living Mastery,
called,
the Expression of Your Divinity?
Yeah, it's called Self-Initiations.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Self-Initiations.
And pretty much the only place you can get that now is through the company that I owned for a long time and just sold this fall, which is AMI. And let's see, I should just give you the website for that. It's Sacred Images.
Sacred Images?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Sacred Images, because it has pictures of angels and deities and masters and lots of beautiful, beautiful pictures. And it has my books and CDs and some other things, too. So it's sacredimages-ami.com.
Okay.
Yeah, so you can... That'll take you right online. You can order right online. Anyone else listening can do the same. And also, you can see the beautiful pictures. They are really magnificent. Many ascended master pictures, angel pictures, Buddhist, Hindu, Christian, Jesus,
yes.
Mary. It's a very varied and wonderful collection of pictures that I built up over many years.
I love the picture of Mother Mary. It was in your book. It was number 3, a beautiful, powerful ascended master of great love, wisdom, and compassion. She has these beautiful eyes, and her hair is pulled back, and she is just so human but divine. She's just, I love that picture.
Oh,
I got
that
from you.
Mm-hmm. That's beauty, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, I love that one.
Yeah.
Well, what are you doing now? I know that you're doing you're going to be a speaker at the WISOC Festival. Would you like to speak about that?
Well, yes. I know it's going to have something to do with my basic purpose of the unlimitedness of humanity and the possibility of ascension or rejuvenation or something like that. But I never know exactly what it's going to be until about 3 days beforehand.
Okay.
So spirit just kind of sees who's gotten there and what's best for the whole group, you know, to speak of at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And that time and place and the illusion of time and place. And so that's what I do. I just kind of turn loose. I don't channel. I just invite God to inspire my thought and my words, and it's almost, I mean, it's similar to channeling in that way, is that it's directly inspired from spirit, but I don't leave or anything like that. I'm fully present as Joanna, but the spirit just is coming through me and guiding everything that's spoken and done. So it's always a wonderful thing, and I mean, and there are many other very wonderful speakers there. It's quite a great lineup this year, and I know everyone's going to be just great. And this is by the way, if you guess most listeners don't know this, but this is the WESAC celebration in Mount Shasta, California, which is far northern California, almost to the Oregon border, about 50 miles from the Oregon border. And it's May 4th through 6th, 4th through 6th of May, which is the WESAC time this year. And the WESAC is actually a celebration of the Buddha, of the Buddha's birth and his enlightenment and his leaving his body. All took place on the full moon in May. This is my understanding. Some other people, I think, differ, but this is my understanding. And this is the basic celebration. It's one of the key celebrations in religions of the world.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's brought into the week as well, into the weekend. And so it's going to be, I want to give the listeners the website for WESAC. It's simply WESAC, which is W-E-S, as in Sam, S-A-K, W-E-S-A-K .us. So you'll see all the speakers there, and you can... There are ways to get a discount ticket. In fact, if you go to my page, you can automatically get a discounted ticket. I just encourage people to come. It's going to be very wonderful, very, very beautiful. It always is. I think it's kind of extra special this year. This is 2012 also, so
right.
That's a big year.
That's
got
right.
All of that going on as well.
I know. I think it was in the 90s, I went 2 years in a row, and it completely changed my life. I ended up going with Dr. Norma Milanovich to the Gobi Desert.
Oh.
And I know, it was in search of Shambhala.
Oh,
and
wow.
what an experience that was with 23 people. Yeah.
Yeah, Norma's quite wonderful.
Yeah, it was. And I also went with her to Africa, to Ethiopia. We did a lot of prayers for the year. We used a lot of violet flame. We've talked about violet flame on this show, but in and through there. From then, I think that was in 1999, we went to Shambhala. And, I encourage people to go. There's just so much light there and so much wisdom.
You mean to go to the Gobi Desert?
To Mount Shasta.
To Mount Shasta.
To WESAC,
Yes, the Mount Shasta energy. For those of you listening that aren't aware, Mount Shasta is, I mean, it's not like Mountain Dew or something like that. It's a huge mountain. It's one of the largest mountains in the whole world in mass. And it rises almost as high from its base as Mount Everest, rises from its base. It's a very beautiful mountain. It's over 14,000 feet high, and it has a beautiful spiritual energy of vortex that you just can't help but feel if you're tuned in, you know, spiritually, which most people who come, well, I guess basically all the people who come to WESAC are tuned in spiritually in this way. And so you can feel it's just a magnificent, blazing, intense, beautiful, shining energy. And there are ascended masters associated with Mount Shasta, particularly Saint Germain. Mm-hmm. And it's said that there is a Lemurian city called Telos, which is also on the physical level inside the mountain. And I happen to believe that's so because I've met somebody who's from there. So it's just amazing, and it's a city of immortals, physical, just like us, exactly like us, same DNA, but immortals. Because we are gods and goddesses, and when we know that the body doesn't age, the body doesn't age. And when we know that the body does age, the body does age. So it's like the universe bows to our knowing as the goddess god we are. So this mountain radiates such amazing energy that just coming to visit Mount Shasta all by itself is a gift. And when you combine that with going to the WESAC weekend, it's an amazing, enormous gift.
Yes, yeah. It is. I was there when Joshua Stone was coordinating everything.
Uh-huh.
And before he passed, and I know you were speaking then at that event. I highly recommend that pilgrimage. It's wonderful.
Yeah. It really is. It's smaller now than it used to be with Joshua, but it's the energy of it is just as pure, or maybe even, I mean, Joshua did get very wonderful people, and some of them I didn't resonate with quite so much, but I think the ones that the WESAC that Dawn Pazand is putting on, is they're all really, she's got a very pure heart and spirit herself, and she really knows how to get pure people there. So pure speakers and such. I'm not to toot my own horn or anything, but it's a very, very high level of spiritual light and expansion that people are given the gifts of, and when they come and so the speakers. The speakers are also gifted, given gifts by being involved with it. So it's just a beautiful thing.
Yes. For those of you who have just tuned in, I have with me here tonight Joanna Cherry. Joanna, I was wondering if you would... Would you speak to the Meals on Wheels? I'm trying to figure out the connection between WESAC and Meals on Wheels.
Oh. Basically, the connection is Dawn.
Dawn is still, okay, so that's what I saw on the website. She's coordinating that.
Yeah, so Dawn is she produces WESAC, and she also has formed an auxiliary for the Meals on Wheels, so that she herself raises money, does fundraising, and shows movies, and does auctions, and has jars all around town. And you know, she'll go into a restaurant to have a jar, and she'll collect the money. And she's very, very faithful. She's able to give Meals on Wheels something like, I think it's $3.50 a month, which really, really helps the quality of the meals. And she got a grant to get a van for...
I saw that nice Jeep for the snow. That's great.
Yeah, and it's really a commitment of her heart. She had some elderly relatives that got to the place where, and Don didn't live there anymore at the time, but got to the place where the only person they'd see all day would be the Meals on Wheels person who would come and chat with them a little bit as well as giving them the meal. And it was just the highlight of the whole day. And a lot of them, a lot of seniors are, you know, really strapped for money. And so for some of them, this is basically what they eat. And Dawn is just very compassionate and committed about this. And so she's using the opportunity of WESAC to help money be raised also for Meals on Wheels for those who want to contribute. It's certainly not a required thing. It's just an opportunity to contribute to it. So it's a great project, and they got so strapped because of the governmental reduction, the federal money reduction to things like this, that they had to cut back one day of the week, and so Dawn is trying to get that reinstated. Because already they were only, you know, they were doing 5 days a week, I think, and not weekends. So to cut it back another day it really kind of sends her into a tizzy.
Yes.
When she talks about that. So she really does want to help all of the seniors here who need it. You know, and it's a real...
Yeah.
A real passion for her.
They really want to be connected.
Excuse me.
The elderly, they really want to be at home. They don't want to be in a assisted living situation. They're willing to stay in their home. And the least we could do is to help with the food. Because if they go to assisted living, think of how many millions and millions of dollars to fund those kind of projects. This just makes sense. And they're not happy. Normally, I've worked in over 100 nursing homes and assisted living facilities in North Carolina, and I've just seen so many elderly people, they don't want to be there.
Yeah.
They want to be home. And
And a lot of them that are able to get out, they do come to the park, the Mount Shasta City Park, does have a meal every day, a lunch set that anyone can come to and eat.
So they can.
Those who do or can get out do have that option of coming for a free meal. So and they have, of course, more social connection then. So that's helpful. But these are mostly the shut-ins, you know, the people that just don't get out anymore.
They get out, they can't drive, and especially in the weather that Mount Shasta gets, the snow and ice, I'm sure that makes it even harder.
Yeah, although this summer we had a really warm winter, so it was pretty amazing.
Tucson did too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, I think Joan Rivers, is that her name, the comedian? I think that's her... Her project, Meals on Wheels.
Oh, is that her project too?
I believe so. She was on Celebrity Apprentice, and I think she was raising money for Meals on Wheels. Yes.
Well, good for her.
So she might share. I don't know.
Uh huh. That's great. That's great. Yeah.
Uh huh.
Yeah, I think it's really lovely the way so many of the celebrities now are just committed to various projects, ecology, the saving of the planet environmentally, or different, you know, compassionate actions for people who are hungry or ill or need education or whatever. And this whole thing about this is really getting off the subject, I guess, a little, but the micro-lending, which is just so amazing, was just the brainstorm of one man, you know, and he saw how little it would take to change the whole life of women, because he found women to be, especially, you know, wives, homemakers, to be so much more responsible than their husbands. Found that if he lent, you know, maybe $20 or $15 would be all it would need to change an entire life and the family so that they could then prosper and be, you know, just so much better off. I love that whole process, and it's just spread all over the world now. It's very beautiful.
It is.
Beautiful thing.
To be of service, I know with the Hopi Native Americans, the first thing the children learn is that you are here to be of service to the tribe.
Uh-huh.
You know, end of story. This is,
uh-huh,
you are here to serve. And that's what the celebrities are showing us, and the people that are involved, they're showing us how they can serve. I'm a golf fanatic, and all of these golfers are just giving money to, you name it, they're giving it for education, for cancer research, whatever. They're opening up.
Oh.
They earn lots of money. Just the FedEx Cup is $10 million a year for one player.
Wow.
So they're they're involved in so many charities.
Oh, that's really great. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So Meals on Wheels is a wonderful one, and it's associated with the WESAC of Mount Shasta. So it's an opportunity there to serve in that particular way as well, if people want to. I mean, through money, not you got to go out and, you know, deliver meals.
But right.
You have an opportunity to donate.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's nice. You know, I want to... The name of my show, Return to Shambhala, I'm just wondering, would you be willing to describe how you see Shambhala? I'm jumping to a whole other topic here, I'm sorry. But I'm like a little kid that, tell me the fairy tale again. I want to hear it again and again and again. It's kind of like, I think we like Somewhere Over the Rainbow so much, that song, because it reminds us of what we're missing with the temples,
yeah,
and the retreats,
yeah,
and the beauty of the Ascended Master dwellings. And
well, there's a beautiful book that actually Patty Cota Robles reprinted, which had gone out of print, called The Gnosis and the Law. And Gnosis,
mm-hmm,
is spelled G-N-O-I-S-I-S, meaning knowledge. It's by a Greek gentleman. I forget his name right now. I don't have it in front of me, but it's available. And it tells a story that I didn't know before that the Earth, the humanity way, way long ago, got into such a low place that they actually were going to pull the plug on the planet. And let everybody here perish. You know, the angels, the elementals were all going to leave, and then life would not have existed without that. We're not aware of how much we owe to the elementals. To
Mm-mm.
They form every
right.
single leaf, every single flower, every single root of every plant, and of the animals as well. And we just wouldn't have life on Earth without the elementals, and they were just going to all leave because it got to be so weird here. And then
yes.
a beautiful master from Venus named Sanat Kumara, whose partner is Lady Venus, just, you know, he attended the meeting where they decided to pull the plug on life on Earth, and he visited Earth. And he felt that it was worth saving, that humanity was worth going into and living there and seeing what could be done. And so it took quite a while, but he actually established, and they were, I think it was wiped out a couple of times, because there was just savagery amongst humanity at that time. But he built Shambhala on the earth. And with all the beautiful temples and towers and things like that, and it became established here, and gradually and very, very, very gradually, much longer than he thought he would be here a few hundred years, and he was here for like 4.5 million years.
That's too long.
Yeah, so he's left again now, but it was not long ago. And so then there it did become more and more light, but there came a time again where it wasn't, you know, there was a sort of a return to darkness to some degree. So it wasn't right then for Shambhala to be on the earth itself. And so it was lifted up. It was actually lifted up into a higher plane, into a higher dimension. So it was over the Gobi Desert for a long time, and there's an upper Shambhala and a lower Shambhala, as I understand it, and they're both the abode of ascended masters of various levels of development and service to humanity. And then, oddly enough, I forget the year of this, but I think it was in the 60s or maybe early 70s, Shambhala was actually moved to above Long Island. And, I mean, I was just amazed to read about that, but I got a yes on it from my spirit. But you know, it's very strange to say, but the governments, they really do know. They use psychics and such as that, and so they knew that this energy was there in Shambhala, and that's when the Montauk experiments began on Long Island, which was to sort of wipe out that energy of divinity there. Because, you know, there's been a whole lot of energy on this world that hasn't wanted people to thrive in their divinity, to become, you know, powerful gods and goddesses and in full sovereignty of themselves. There's been so much energy that's wanted to enslave people and put them in debt and have them, you know, be hopeless and send them to wars and, you know, all the stuff that's been done. It's been really quite nefarious. It's not to blame them, because they too were doing their best, but many of them don't have any heart at all, any spirit at their basis. And they've also won over to their side many people that actually do have spirit at their center, but were just tempted by power and greed and money and that kind of thing. So with the Montauk experience coming on, Shambhala was again moved. And I forget if it's back to the Gobi Desert now or where it is, but it still exists as an energy on the earth, and it's a place that we can't see with our physical eyes because it's in a lighter dimension. But on its own level, it's just as, you know, physical. It's just as tangible as our physical world is to us.
Mm-hmm.
And the same is true of all Ascended Master retreats. We have one, as I mentioned, in Mount Shasta, and there's one in the Royal Teton Mountains in Wyoming, and there's a few other smaller ones scattered around the United States and others in other places of the world. In fact, in this same book, the Gnosis and the Law, it gives the location of all of the major Ascended Master retreats in the world. And I think there's something like 22 of them or something. And so these energies are here right where we are. They're not actually removed from us. All of the dimensions from the earth plane on up to the highest level, the seventh heaven or whatever, the 12th or 13th heaven or whatever it is, the highest levels, they're all right here, intertwined, interwoven with each other. And it depends upon where we focus, what we are focusing on as to what we are experiencing. And so, of course, we've been focusing on this physical realm where we are, but it's also, the physical realm has been so seductive in, you know, this is the reality, this is solid, the materiality, the material world, a material girl, is what the reality is. rather than, you know, recognizing as we know now from physics that nothing is solid, nothing has substance. There, between the particles of an atom and a molecule, there's vast distances of space, and also all form, all substance is formed by thought, is formed by the vision for that substance to be on this plane or whatever plane it's on. But as we also recognize that spirit, especially our own God self, is what the material world comes from, it's like our oneness with our divinity means that any thought or creativity that we have, that we are choosing to put our energies into, like it can be anything, buying a car, building a house, you know, taking or working a particular job, having a relationship with a particular person, the I Am presence always bows to the free will of the person, of our outer consciousness, of our mind, of our heart, of what we choose. Life always says yes to it, whether it's a wonderful thing or what we would call a horrible or difficult thing, including what we call accidents, which are pretty much non-existent as an actual accident.
I believe that too.
Yeah, so this, when we realize that the God power and the God substance is what we have always been using to create every single thing in our lives, every single thing that we see around us came from God's substance, from the mind of someone who built it into something, from earth materials, which also comes from divine substance, that all comes from divinity, and that is the reality. And it's the only reality in truth. And so when we learn to lift up our thoughts and our feelings and our desire for creation to resonate with our own divinity, then that's when we start to get into enormous happiness and service and love and forgiveness of ourselves, the forgiveness of all other people and conditions and events and everything that we experience in our lives, all relationships. When we really get that everything is from this great, great love of the divine for us and as us, then we can't help. I mean, we just naturally shift around. We can help, I guess, if you can say, because we have free will in a way. But we just kind of naturally choose then to flow with the I Am. And what it is guiding us to in our lives is that which makes us the most happy and the most uplifted and the most to have the most wonderful and serving and giving and receiving, most wonderfully receiving life that we possibly can have, to heal all of our relationships, to heal our relationship with money, to be abundant in money, and all other good and wonderful things. It's just, it all comes in a very natural way when we tune more and more in to and realize our oneness with, that's the key, our oneness with the divine self. It's just, it's an amazing thing. Also, I would highly recommend what are called the green books from the Saint Germain Press, especially the first two, which are the story, and after that it's mostly decrees, which some people love. I don't happen to gravitate to them so much. But the first one is called The Unveiled Mysteries. The Unveiled Mysteries. And the second one is called The Magic Presence. And they are just both, they're true stories. They're written by a man named Godfrey, who renamed himself really Godfrey Ray King. God frees man through the rays so that man becomes king. That's how he renamed himself.
Mm-hmm.
But those two books are just a magnificent account of his true adventures with Saint Germain and all the things that happened, and they're so inspiring to me.
They are.
I highly recommend
over and over
those. You get something new out of them every time. I've just been rereading the first one, The Unveiled Mysteries, and just the most beautiful exposition of how to manifest what is desired is there. And I know the exact page number, page 101. It's just for several pages. It's just the most clear and inspiring, and it just lays out all the principles of creating what we want, basically, in our lives. But there is a kind of a fiat to say you want to be very careful when you're inviting the God power of yourself to create in your life, that you are creating basically selflessly, which doesn't mean to not create a house or something. It just means that you're not creating that puts down another person, that it takes away from another person or you know, other aspects of life in a selfish or cruel way. That you really are coming from your heart, from your love, to bring your own life into an expression of your divinity in every way, on the material plane, in service to life, to animals, plants, trees, earth, water, you know, air, fire, the elements, the life itself, people, other people, kindness, giving, speaking well of others, thinking well of others. So there's an important part of what he teaches is to be just really, really clear about where we're coming from when we are choosing to create something, in life.
The violet flame, too.
Yeah.
The miracles that have come out of using the violet flame, we've talked about it on this show. I've sat in courtrooms, I've sat in hospital rooms and used the violet flame, working with the violet flame in working with schools, you know, bringing the violet flame right into that school building.
Mm. That's wonderful.
Using the violet flame with the personnel. It's just, you can just see it start to move the energy in the right way.
Oh, that's a wonderful one.
Yeah.
A wonderful service. And this year, or this past year, I was shown a new light, and actually I think a couple of other people had mentioned it before I got it, which was, it's like a diamond light flame.
Uh-huh.
Which is now a higher level of light than even the violet flame, because it contains all colors,
uh-huh.
all possible colors.
Well, I hadn't heard of that, but I've heard of the laser diamond, the violet laser light. It's just like a laser that cuts through.
Uh-huh. Yeah, well, this, I think, is an actual up-leveling or an even greater power and light that is now, I'm using it now instead of the violet flame, or sometimes with the violet flame, but the violet flame is absolutely wonderful. And this
well,
one
I'm counting on my God presence to correct and make the adjustments that need to be made, because
you can't go wrong with a violet flame. It's just, mm-hmm. I've just been shown that this, I think think it's a new light, really, a new energy in the world, is this diamond light flame. And
diamond light flame, okay.
Yeah.
You
with
know
all,
how,
of all possible colors. And
all
so
the
when
colors.
You when you're
all
sending
the 12
it,
rays now.
Yeah, well, yeah, except every tiniest variant of every color, every possible color. So so to use that to do this wonderful, wonderful cleansing and clearing and healing, and I don't know, it just I experience it as even more powerful and wonderful than I did the violet flame.
What would be the decree for that? I am the, how would you, how?
I guess you'd say I am the diamond light flame.
I am the diamond light flame.
Yeah. Blazing through all, clearing, healing, lifting, dissolving what no longer serves. The same kinds of words that we use with the violet flame, I think, are still perfect.
So I am the diamond light flame. I am the healing God desires, or something like that. Because, you know, we said,
I am
the violet
the healing,
flame.
The clearing, the, yeah, whatever.
Now I am the diamond light flame. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to tune into that.
Okay.
Good. We've been doing I am the laser violet flame.
Uh-huh. Well, that's
so
wonderful.
I think that's realizing that there is an uplifting of the uh-huh. of the violet flame
uh-huh.
to the higher frequencies of
uh-huh.
healing.
Great.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it's really magnificent. Service.
I just grabbed my book, Gnosis and the Law, and it's Telos S. Papas Savro, the Gnosis of the Law.
Oh, right.
That,
uh-huh.
the Greek man that...
Yeah. Maybe you want to spell that for people.
Telos, T-E-L-L-I-S, middle initial S, and Papas Stavro, P-A-P-A-S-T-A-V. R-O. And Patricia was saying that they saw this book on eBay for, I think it was $550,
oh
and somebody bought it. And I think I only paid $12 at Patricia.
Wow. Yeah, it got to be a real rarity, I guess, there for a while before she reprinted it.
Uh-huh.
Oh. That's a very great gift she gave there.
I grabbed it as soon as I go to her monthly meetings here in Tucson. Uh-huh.
Oh.
We meet every Monday. Sometimes I miss because I'm doing the show, but when I'm not, I make sure I go. And we always do wonderful meditations. And
oh, I bet.
Here in Tucson.
Well, if you think of it, please give her my love for me. I've spoken at a couple of her World Congress of Illuminations. So I really have a great love and respect for her.
I do, too.
Yeah. So just
yes.
if you think of it, give her my love.
All right. Well, mm-hmm. I hope you come here 1 year when we have it here in Tucson.
Yeah.
Because this year it's in Hawaii.
Oh.
And
uh-huh.
next year it'll be here in Tucson. Every other year it's in Tucson.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's good. Wonderful things.
Well, in your, I'm going to get back to Shambhala. I'm going to kind of bug you about this. It says in your book about Shambhala, these retreats are fascinating and beautiful places inside. There are great golden halls for large gatherings and many smaller gathering spaces. There are crystalline pyramids, hollow inside for initiations, healing, etc. There are halls of records. There are areas for inventions and other needed ideas are perfected to be given to the earth. I'm hoping the energy will be given soon here, the energy, the new ways to generate energy.
I'm sure that's one of the major projects that's happening there in the retreats, yeah. Yeah, they have a place for... Where inventors, beautiful inventors of great wisdom and knowledge are are bringing, are creating prototypes of inventions, and then when they have them perfected, they send them out, and humanity is ready for them. They send them out into the thought stream of humanity.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the reason why so often two people from opposite ends of the earth receive the Nobel Prize for the exact same, you know, discovery or invention, because it came at the same time to them, you know, from these halls. And yeah, the retreats are just amazingly beautiful. There's a the one that I experienced best is the one that I visited most on the inner, which is the Mount Shasta Ascended Master Retreat. And it does have a crystalline hollow pyramid that it kind of pulses beautiful colors of gold and silver and aqua, rose, and light blue. And you can go inside if it's time for an initiation. Then usually 3 or 4 masters at least will go in with you and just help you receive a beautiful initiation. And it could involve some on the etheric level, some crystals or something, other things to help you with your enlightenment, your spiritual expansion, being placed in your body. There are very beautiful things that happen in the pyramid. And there's also a cleansing pool. There's a beautiful, round, I mean, I see it from these eyes, it's like 8 to 10 feet in diameter, and it's a golden liquid. And you jump in, but you don't get wet, but it clears out all of your bodies, all your mental, emotional, physical, etheric, you know,
oh,
all your
nice
levels
that
of,
would be.
Of body.
I want to go.
And there's a beautiful waterfall, and there's a forest, and there are halls of records. I'm not sure if this is in Mount Shasta or another one, but where you can see past lives. They can just be shown to you, like just projected up on the wall, and you can see and experience yourself. And actually experience yourself in the past lives. Godfrey tells about that in the books that I mentioned, The Unveiled Mysteries and The Magic Presence. So, it's just an amazing place, and you can visit it in meditation. If you go in and say to your God self, I want to go to the Ascended Master Retreat of Mount Shasta or the Grand Tetons or wherever you would like to go, then if your heart is sincere, then you will find yourself there, and then hopefully your third eye is open enough, your sixth chakra, so that you can actually see what's happening there. And a lot of times people experience themselves in their Ascended Master body, very tall and young and beautiful and wearing robes, and you can have a mirror placed in front of you and can really see what you look like on this level. It's quite a wonderful experience. And then a master, either an inner self or a master that you know and love or another master that maybe you've never heard of, will come and kind of escort you to a place that's right for you to go, or place or places in the retreat, and help you have wonderful experiences there. And many people have seen, and I've also read that this is true, but I haven't seen it myself from my third eye, you know, like caves that are just studded with crystals all around them.
Oh.
And so a number of people have experienced something like that. So, you'll have an Ascended Master will have their own room, you know, an individual room, that if they live there, and there are these beautiful meeting halls that are just, and it's all so opulent. There's gold on the walls and tapestries and jade tables. I mean, it's just diamond and huge jewels of all kinds. I mean, treasures untold for what we would think of for this level. So it's
that's what I
want
to return to. I want to return to Shambhala. I do.
Yeah.
Joanna, we're almost out of time. So
yeah.
I wanted you to take this time to say whatever you want to say, how to reach you, anything.
Okay. Well, my own personal website is ascensionmastery.com. Ascension is A-S-C-E-N-S-I-O-N, mastery.com. And my books and CDs and articles, a lot of articles, are there. And it also gives the link to the pictures, to AMI. And also to mention once again WESAC in Mount Shasta, May 4th through 6th. That's, and the website is WESAC, WESAC.US. You can go and see the speakers there. It's going to be truly wonderful, Mount Shasta, California,
mm-hmm.
up north. And so thank you so much for inviting me to come on.
Thank you. Oh, I enjoyed it so much. It was kind of tricky because I wanted to meditate on what you were saying, but yet I have to be alert, you know.
Yeah,
and
so you're the interviewer.
It was a little tricky.
Oh, yeah. Well,
thank you
again.
So much.
Yeah.
You've inspired me for many years, I should say.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, blessings to you.
Blessings to you, too. And goodbye, everybody. Namaste.
Bye.
I wish you lots of light and love, and I will see you back here in 2 weeks. Thank you for listening.
Okay.